Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Very briefly. There is an aura, there is an unction that attracts favor. But there is a vital force, a spirit of intelligence in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Give me the King James Version. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty God gives them understanding. Now, one of the problems or challenges that I have observed that many sincere Christians have or struggle with is how to enter into the revelation realm of God, or how to stay in that dimension. Sometimes the Lord is speaking to you or is trying to reveal certain things to you, but you can't stay consistently in that environment. You just find that you snap out of it. You can't, or you struggle with it. And today I want to see if maybe peradventure we can fix that. God's will is for us to live in the throne room. It is the will of God for us to live like Jesus lived on earth. God is not trying to prove anything by we living lower than the life that Jesus lived on earth. So you have to first of all accept this, because there seems to be some kind of holy reverence to the point that we think we are unable to attain to the life, the quality of the life that Jesus lived on earth. My brother, I will need to pray for you. Are you with me? In this scripture, the Lord has given us certain markers to consider. Jesus, our Lord, said, "For God is spirit, and those who must come to him must do so how?" So we must learn the way of spirit. How to approach God, how to come before him, how to gain the attention of a deity. How to gain the attention of a deity. In this case, God. God is not a man. He cannot be approached as a man. You cannot simply come to him and knock his door. He is a deity. And he gives us certain parameters in scriptures through which on how he wants to be approached. For instance, in the book of Hebrews, the scripture said we must come boldly, right? Before what? The throne of grace. So that we can what? In the time. So it means that if I come before the Lord, or I make an attempt to come before the Lord, but I am doing it in fear that I am not worthy to stand before him. Now, if you are not born again, you are not worthy. Don't make any mistake. Just go and sit down.
If you are not born again, or you are a religious person, you go to church but you are not born again, you cannot stand before a holy God. You will not survive it. Because the world has been presented with another Jesus, and they think Jesus is their homie. Jesus is not your homie. Jesus is not your regular guy. That is the name that compels every authority in the heavens to bow. It cannot be your homie. You cannot give him a wiper. And this utter disregard for divine things is why God moves back in his mercy, so that he doesn't consume people. He will stay back, leave you to be gyrating. So he says, come boldly, because there is a body language, there's a posture. You are coming before your father, but your father is a king. So you come boldly. Come like a minister in the palace. What God is saying, Busaya, is that you are better than angels. Those angels that stand before him, you are better than them. But do you know? Do you think you are privileged because you saw an angel? Angels are privileged because they saw you. But if you don't know, you may be tempted to bow down to an angel because he is 9 feet tall. He said, all authority in the heavens and on earth, including the angelic realm, has been given to me. So in that authority, you go therefore. And you think Michael is better than you? No. Michael labors with you, but you are a son. Michael is a servant. Come boldly. Again in scripture, the word of God tells us that when we come before him, we must come, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. The gate in the scripture, in the Old Testament, is not the gate of your house. Hello? The gates in scripture really do not speak about the gate of your house. They speak about where decisions are made by elders. When Boaz that married Ruth, right? They had to discuss the matter at the gate. So if you study the scriptures and you are a white man, you are an Englishman, you may confuse some things. You have to go to the gate. Whatever is agreed at the gate, we stand. Covenants are entered into at the gate. You must understand what the scripture is saying. So when God says, enter my gates with what? With thanksgiving. Because the decisions have already been made. And the only way you receive and become a part of the decisions to be made is when you are grateful. Does that make sense? You may see that the promotion letter is yours, but you may not get it if you are not grateful. And I tell you today, one of the signs of the last days is that what? Most people will be ungrateful. Don't be grateful in your heart. Be grateful also with your mouth. You may not know why doors are being shut against you. I'm very familiar with Pastor Ayo. But if Pastor Ayo asks me to preach, even if he's not on seat, I have to appreciate him. I won't take that familiarity as a... But when we are alone, we may be talking, and I may even be arguing with him about something we are talking about. No, Pastor, I don't agree. But once I stand there, And if he comes in while I was preaching, I will still appreciate him again. That's the easiest way to lose a platform. Huh? Especially if it's a platform you didn't work for. The easiest way to lose it is to assume that the Holy Spirit has taken the glory. Ah. The door will be shut against you. Now, that is man to man. And God says, don't even come into the decision-making environment without a spirit of thanksgiving. To say thank you means you are conscious of what God has done. That's what it means. You are not saying, Father, I thank you for your blessing. That is cheap, myopic, and you are a crook. I thank you for what you have done. What exactly are you talking about? Because I don't understand. Even high, if you tell me, I will tell you what. I will ask you what. Because I don't like people confusing me. You are giving me mixed signal. What exactly are you saying thank you for? Say, for what you did yesterday. I don't even remember what I ate last night. I'm not joking. That's why I keep my peace. I forget. I try to forget a lot of things. So if you think because I spoke to you yesterday, you now say, hey, you better remind me. Because I remove temporary files all the time from my system. My system is just 16 gig. I have to manage it. Be grateful. And do it with an attitude. And we are talking about coming into his presence. He said, come into his court with praise. The court is where the rulings are going to be done. This is where every counterparty will be heard. All the witnesses will be allowed to talk. Do you know that even when Jesus was about to be crucified, he was brought before a court, right? Where the Sanhedrin and whatever. But what did the book of Psalm tell us? He said, the evil's version of that event was that he will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will he suffer his only one to see corruption. So when you saw Jesus in court keeping quiet, he knew something. He wasn't trying to behave as though, where are you people? I'll come back and I will show you where I am. There was nothing to show. When he rose up, he didn't even go back to that place. There's no time. Let's go and look for Peter. That's the most important person. If I was the one, before I go for Peter, I will stop. Where are those people? Fire, fire, fire. Give you fire. Oh yeah. Take that one. Manage that one for the next 50 years. And you will be burning. Jesus, he did not even behave like there was anything there. He just went to the river to look for Peter. The matter was decided. He said, that will not leave. It has been decided that his soul will not be left in. It has been decided. I said, your case, your family, it has been decided. And God is saying, what I want from you is to respond with praise, even when you are not holding your testimony yet. Respond in praise. Like, not only that you are going to get married, but you are coming with your twins. Do you understand? Like, God is not impressed so much when the miracle is in your hands, as much as he is impressed when your praise is a response of the word of the Lord. When God tells you that you will not die, but you will live to declare, and you respond like that, and people look at you and like, that guy is mad. When you praise God and people say, people feel pity for you. The way they felt for David when he danced when the ark was being brought back. His wife felt pity for him. And I'm sure the wife was not the only one. Because such people normally have accomplices. And in case you think you are very good at praising God, I came to tell you, you've not done it well. You have not done it enough. Because you imagine the atmosphere of God's presence. If there was anything such as 24 hours, that is what goes on in heaven. That is the environment that God chooses to dwell in. That is the environment. That even the matter of prayer was described as incense coming out of the incense burner. But praise was his atmosphere. Prayer was put inside an incense burner. So when you pray here, it will just come out like smoke. But God chose to dwell deliberately in the midst of the praise of his people. So is it possible that you are the one holding yourself back? There's a difference between praise and vibe. Do you remember some of the songs we used to sing 10 years ago? 15 years ago? Do you remember any of them? Do you know some of those old time songs? When you sing them, you still enjoy them, right? You get blessed by them. Aha. Now, do you remember the song that trended 3 years ago in Nigeria? Do you still remember? You see, that's the problem. A song can trend, but if it's not from God, it has expiry date. That's why you can still remember Domwe's song. That's why some of the songs we sing around here in Nigeria, you still remember them. Because those songs came from the spirit. So even, and let me tell you, one of the signs that a song is from the spirit is that you won't need too many instruments to. You can be in your kitchen and sing it, and you will still be blessed. You don't need seven keyboards. You don't need motif, octave, and all those big equipment. Someone wanted to present a song. I don't know if it was by Sinatra or something. And he started complaining. The sound is not coming out. He was screaming at the choir. The pastor was screaming. Say, play this thing. He wanted the thing to be as smooth as the one the woman of God was. At the end of the day, sir, that song, they use 3 keyboards. You, your own keyboard, half of the keys are gone. Then there's electric guitar, there's bass, there's violin there. So when they say, pastor, stop, you are just embarrassing. You, this is not the way this thing works. And even when you have it, then we have to rehearse. Then we will tell you when we are ready. Say, jam that thing. He said, pastor, it's not everything you can jam. These people use 3 keyboards of different grade. So I don't know what's wrong with our choir. There's nothing wrong with your choir. You don't have working implement. We must have whenever we come before God with praises, we are not waiting for latecomers. Whenever we wait upon the Lord, even when you are alone in your room, it's not you winding the engine for God to know you are here. The moment you say, I will arise and fulfill my destiny. When you stand as a priest and you announce your arrival, the ministration has started. So, we must understand the requirement. Because I'm going to Job chapter 32. When God says, when the Spirit said, when Jesus said, God is a spirit. And those that what? Worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. Then Job says, there is a spirit in man. Signifying that for me to be able to relate with God and become very intimate with God, it has a lot to do with how primed my spirit is. Are you with me? You know there's this thing called priming. And I realized that thing is not really so hard. But if you are not used to it, once in a while you may find yourself getting into it and then you get disconnected and you won't know what happened. That I was enjoying God's prayer. I don't know, something just happened. I stopped sensing God's presence. I want to explain. Communicating with God is spirit to spirit. Understanding is spirit to soul. Communicating with God or revelation is spirit to spirit, but understanding is spirit to soul. So whilst a lot of us use singing and praising to appreciate the Lord, and that is good, then we can take it a step further. And we can use worship or praising God as a tool for priming our environment. We use worship and praise to prime our spiritual environment, because we know that when we praise him, he inhabits, not angels, God himself steps into our mortal realm. When we praise him, the Bible says praise him with understanding. When we praise him, he steps into our mortal realm. God comes into your reality when you praise him from your heart, from your spirit. When you are doing it from there, and you mean it, you don't have to feel anything, but it is a divine reality. And what that means is that the moment God steps into my reality, I am able to now see the things that are around me for what they really are. Because anywhere God is, any spirit that is there must manifest its true character. That is why you find that anytime Jesus would go into the temple and there was someone that was possessed, it would be the demons crying out. Because the holiness of his presence will compel anything around him to show their nature. That is why you got to the office and that seemingly nice lady started behaving somehow. Because the power and the presence of God in your spirit will not permit any lesser spirit to hide. Be sensitive. Are you with me? I said that is why you see certain reactions from people around you. See, I just don't like her. You will never like me. And that will be your cross till the day you die. Because the power of God that is in me will not permit a lesser spirit to hide. Speak as a son, not a servant. Hold your authority like a son, not a servant. In your father's house, a table has been prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. When you wake up tomorrow and you get into your business unit or your office or your shop, whatever, go there and announce, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the week of profit. Say it with your mouth. Don't imagine it. Say it with your mouth. We are in the court of heaven. This is the verdict for this week. You don't know where your customers are. Let the heavens bring them. Struggling. Come and buy. You sell everything. At the end of the day, you really can't even tell us what you specialize in, because you have sold everything. So Job has told us that there's a spirit in man. And how God communicates with that spirit is what? By inspiration. Now, you need to get this one clearly. And for those of us who are in the prophetic, we know this one very well. We know that by looking and just staring at someone, the Lord can begin to speak. And there are people who will tell you in the prophetic that how God speaks to them is through scriptures. They prophesy with scriptures. So when they talk to you, the Lord will remind them of a particular scripture. They didn't cook up the scriptures when coming. They just look at you, and as they are speaking to you, God will start using characters in the Bible to piece together the divine revelation. But that is one level. Another level is to enter into the person's life and begin to speak about the things that are really going on there. Like the woman I spoke about in the service that had a dream, and I went into the dream and I finished the dream for her. You remember the lady I spoke about in the first service? Well, she had a dream. And for 3 years or so, she didn't know what the dream meant. And then I went into that dream and I described where the dream stopped. And I finished it for her. And she started crying. People were clapping. They didn't know why she was crying. Sometimes people are just wired to clap. We are a clapping generation. I was preaching in a meeting recently. And while I was preaching, I went to a lady standing at the edge of the church. Very pretty lady. And then I started to prophesy to her. Then at some point, I was holding her hand. Now, you know, everybody in the church know themselves. So, I'm the visitor. So, I held, as I was holding her hand, another law. The law of physical connection and, or what do you call that in physics? Radiation. Conduction is when something touches the other, right? So, the law of conduction was activated and I didn't know. But because I was holding her. And a few weeks ago, I spoke to you about the issue of laying of hands. I was holding her hands and I was prophesying to her and looking into the congregation. And then I began to say, the Lord is asking me to pray for someone here who is an SS. I wasn't looking at her. She was weeping. People started clapping. Because the lady I was holding was an SS. Then I was prophesying. I just stopped. You know, like I was prophesying. I was looking for the person. I was searching in my spirit. Where is the person? But people were clapping. Why are they clapping? Like, what's wrong with these people? You people should be quiet so you can hear what God is saying. I was prophesying. This thing is around me. She said, yes. Then her husband came out. What I just described to you is the prophetic code of gazing, the prophetic code of conduction. I'm talking about the Lord is showing you something. You are praying. The Lord is showing you something. He shows you an alabaster box. And one of the ways that the Lord trains you, are you with me? One of the ways the Lord will train you to become used to these things is through questions. In Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord showed Jeremiah, is he a tree? An almond tree. And then he asked him, say, what seest thou? See, the code of questioning. That's a code. When God wants to guide you and train you, he will use question and answer to train your spirit. Because in your mind, you already think that thing doesn't mean anything. Somewhere in your mind, just a tree. And the Spirit of God say, what seest thou? Once you hear what seest thou, once you enter into the prophetic code of inquiry, you have opened up your spirit for revelation to flow. When you are asking, what is this? The problem is you saw a tree with 9 fruits on it. Say, hey. You panicked and came out of that revelation. That tree is not going to kill you. If it wanted to kill you, you would have been dead. You would have been poisoned. You saw something. You must grow your spirit to a point where it becomes stable. And one of the easiest ways to develop spiritual stability is by spending a lot of time with God. And when I say spending a lot of time, I am not just talking about praying. I'm talking about the state of your heart always being with him. You are in the office, you are whatever, you are watching a movie, but your heart has a default mode, which is God's presence. A default mode. Come on, say default mode. Your heart has a default mode. Always, even when you play and laugh, it, your heart just, like a rubber band, just bounces back. You have to train your mind for that. It's not going to happen overnight. When you see prophets come and say, okay, I want to prophesy now. And you are wondering, just like that. It's not magic. The mind, the heart has become trained sometimes to enter into those things. And I prophesied to that sister that is an SS, and because the Lord told me to pray that he was going to heal her. And I saw a brother standing beside her. I didn't even ask who he was. Later, he just mentioned, she's my wife. I said, she's your wife. I said, congratulations. We came back the next day. I now started prophesying to the husband. I didn't even think about him. I just saw him. And I said, I saw you in the spirit. I saw you preaching and teaching the word of God. People started shouting that he's one of the leaders in the church and he teaches. I said, I saw you teaching and then I saw this and I saw this. And I went into his career and I began to prophesy. How do you do such things? I am telling you that the communication of the spirit is inspiration. I'm not talking about having, I'm so inspired by your presentation. I also want to be a public health specialist. I'm not talking about that kind of inspiration. I'm talking about spiritual things. Spiritual things. When you sit in a board meeting, you can x-ray everybody standing in front of you. think the witch in that meeting is, you think she's not sure about what she's doing? You think she came there and she's trying to test the thing? No, they did that before they came. But we Christians prefer to dance and roll on the floor in the church, and we don't know anything. We prefer the pastor to be praying and be hearing God for us. Oh, did Jesus die for me, or did he die for us? When Jesus said that whatever you have found me doing, you will do even greater things. But even you are not even measuring up to Judas Iscariot. Not to even talk of Jesus. Or you don't know Judas performed miracles, and he still betrays his Lord with two eyes. He opened his eye and betrayed him. And Peter cleansed lepers, healed the sick. But when it was time to betray him, which means that your working miracle is not a guarantee of anything. If you are not, if Jesus says he doesn't know you, that's it, you are done. You can develop yourself. He said there is a spirit. Please put up that scripture. And I'm going to tell you one other key, because I've been putting keys here, but I notice some of you are sleeping, while some of you are just waiting for me to finish, and I'll be done, because I need to go and eat at that other place. But I wish, if you really mean to become spiritually healthy and powerful, I will show you what to do. Now, when God, there is a spirit in man, and Jesus also told us in the book of John that God is spirit. So the way God communicates to us is by what? He giveth them understanding. But what is the, where is the source of this understanding? It is an inspiration. What is and this thing that we refer to as inspiration? It is something like a breath. That word inspiration is in spirit. Inspiration. In spirit. Spirit communication. What that means is that you will enter a dimension that is known as knowings. Telepathic communication. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus would be in a meeting and he would be preaching. He would be teaching, he would be teaching, he would be teaching. And then he would suddenly know what the Pharisees were thinking. He will now begin to address and abuse them. But nobody heard what he heard. He will now face the chief Pharisee. Why think he evil in your heart? Hallelujah. So to a blind, a spiritually blind man, Jesus was the one who fired the first shot. Jesus was the man sat down in front. Jesus went to look for his trouble. You will not be blind. Amen. God must open your eyes, because there are a lot of things happening around us, masked around smiles. She's my best friend. She used to help me. And previous favors become a mask over your eyes to see who is supposed to be in your corner in the future. You don't know. Jesus would answer that man and said, "Why think evil?" But there was no conversation. Jesus only read his thoughts. So God's communication channel for every Christian is inspiration. And that's why if God asks you to do something now and you delay, that thing can float immediately. And let me give you a good example for inspiration, how it works in church. Some of you might have seen this. We might be in church having praise worship, and you just think about a song, then the person on the stage starts singing it. That's inspiration. Now, what God expects is that should be your normal experience. That's what I'm talking about. That is what God expects. That should be, that if anything is flying around you, if it's at the realm of thought and spirit, you must catch it. Now, for you to be able to achieve that state, The scripture says, and you may want to look for that scripture and project it for me. It says, in quietness and confidence shall your strength be. I think that should be Isaiah. In quietness and confidence shall your strength be. I have said to you, I think this one is Book of Psalms, that the place of your strength is to be still. And I'm going to show you very quickly one of the requirements to becoming very proficient and strong at this level. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be what? There is a requirement of a quiet spirit. You know, when I started this message, I started talking to you about confidence. You are not a slave, you are a son, right? Now, that is it there. But the other requirement there is this, there's a quietness of spirit. There's a quietness of spirit. You may be talking to people, but your heart is very quiet. There are people that have very noisy hearts. Even if nothing is happening, they will cook up something. When I was in Kenya and they took me to the safari, I had this experience. And if I mean, they've been asking me to come back. If I go back, that's the reason why I'm going back. We drove 4 hours into the forest. And when we got to the forest, I saw a waterfall. And there was a chair there. Those chairs made with cement. Concrete cement. You know, like the one you have in the at the park in the UK. Don't worry. Nigeria. I don't want to remember. Because the angels have moved from they are no more at the gates. They have entered. They are in the country now. So you will see what will happen this week and next week. You are raising your hand. Are you fasting? I hope you have started fasting also. Anyways. It was the way they scream. Hey, when David killed Goliath, that was when we knew there were women in that town. Nobody talked before then. You talked Goliath. If Goliath mark you. The moment they heard boom and the man died. Hey! Like the chief hunter has returned from the forest. Say, so then I created a problem for the boy. Say, David, Saul has killed 1,000. David, so that's it. Was it the problem in the life of David was women? That should have been his warning signal, but he did not get it. He didn't get it. All these praise singers. I'm not after you. your hey just gave me an inspiration, a revelation. All right, let's tidy this up. Because the scripture says the place of my strength is in quietness, which means there is a type of prayer. The goal of that prayer is to maintain stillness of heart. Because when the word of the Lord is coming, it's coming from the realm of the spirit. And it finds its way into my soul. If my soul is unstable, I can have a dream where God spoke to me. As I'm waking out of the dream, I'm forgetting. Does that make sense? You have a dream. You know this is from God. And as you are waking up, the dream is fading away. When I got to that forest in Nairobi, the woman said to me, we were alone in that forest. She said, sit down here. And I sat down. She said, shut your eyes. I said, for what? I have to be wise. I said, shut my eyes. I don't know who you are. Because I don't know. I am not my type. So I don't know. I live on to die. Die for your type. And she was wearing a hijab. So I don't know what your plan is. Maybe you have something you want to bring out. So let's be seen ourselves. She said, no, trust me. Just shut your eyes. That matter of trust, I don't know about that one. But let me shut my eyes. One eye. So I shut my eyes and I started hearing the waterfalls, the sound of the waterfalls behind me for like 30 minutes. That was the first day I knew that the noise of Lagos was in my heart. I experienced a stillness in my mind. My mind was quiet. You see that waterfall? My mind became very still. It was like time stopped. When I go back to my hotel, I was still in that experience. When I landed at this, I had completely forgotten, because two people were struggling for who will go first on the around Maryland. And the noise came back. That stillness is what you can use prayer to prime. Huh? I'm talking to you about the different uses of prayer here. So when I sit down, this kind of prayer is not the prayer of Holy Ghost fire, bring it down, bring it down. It's not this, not that. This one, with that prayer of fire, will bring warfare. What we need now is stillness. So I must be in a state. I may have a chair, I sit down. Sometimes I'm watching a movie. Delight myself in the Lord, and He will give me all my desire. And I'm watching the TV. The goal of that prayer is stillness. We have many antibiotics, but they have different uses. This one is for stillness, because I cannot function if my heart is not in a particular state. I cannot prophesy if my heart is not in a particular place. I cannot receive divine inspiration if my heart is not at a particular frequency. And that is why, if you are prophetic or you are called as a prophet and apostle, one of the things you must do for yourself is never to be in the midst of people for too long. The Bible said after Jesus will preach, He will withdraw from men. He will withdraw, because they won't let Him go. I preached in a meeting recently. The pastor came and carried me and put me in the car. He said, they will not let you go. Go, told driver, drive away. Because people were thronging the car. And I was looking at the test and appetite. You see, because the more they were thronging me and say, sir, you have not spoken to me. Sir, you have not. The unction was increasing and welling up. The moment there was hunger and desire, the unction kept flowing. And the pastor said, you will not live here today. He grabbed me and pushed me and told the driver, drive off. I say, my God, the Gushans don't know this one. They 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 can talk, but they don't know this one. Hunger, passion, they won't let you go. Yeah, you want to close to heaven? You close to heaven. This one? Sir, you are not going today. That word you gave, you are not going today. And as they were doing, the unction was strong. It was strong. Strong. Strong, it was just following me out of the church into the car. And the pastor said, look at the door, I couldn't go in. The pastor just came, opened the door. The car moved. All of you gather, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is well with you. Go home. Don't close this church down. But how was I able to maintain that posture? It comes with consistent training of the mind to be quiet. And I have noticed that anytime I'm unable to sustain that stillness, my mind becomes very wild. I'm unable to control it. Then I've done a bit of test here and there. And I realized that if I want to achieve a next layer of control over that mind, I must be ruthless with my body. God is speaking. You are far away. That's the problem. It's not that you don't even need fasting again to hear God. The word has been dropped in your spirit, but your mind is far away. It's far away, far away, far away. And that is what you must recover. You must go back. What I've given you is a clear strategy to recover your mind. Don't say you are in the office and you forget God till that night prayer you do before going to bed. No. You will lose out on a lot of things. There's a quietness and confidence in which you are able to sit. You might even get up, go into the kitchen and start preparing some food for your kids. But you see, your heart is with the Lord. You are in a tender embrace with the Lord. And you are going about doing, living like a normal person. But your presence is not only registered in your home. In the heavens, you are also there. You can learn it. Because when you hit that frequency, one of the things you will now realize is that the spiritual realm is very busy. There's a lot of data flowing. It's just that your spirit can't process because of the distance. So now that you are close, you will start knowing things about Ghana. You will start knowing things about South Africa. Things that are not your business. But because you are on that table, you will hear it. It's like being in the boardroom. You will hear things. I was in the boardroom recently with one of the biggest automobile companies in Nigeria. And I sat in the boardroom addressing the deputy managing director, all the senior management there. I was not supposed to be there. But I went there. I had to make a presentation there. And I heard things. When you are in a certain space, you will hear things. Things that you think are not your business. You will now realize that this was the same age your mother was when she made that mistake. You now realize that. Yeah. You didn't even think of that. This was the way your mom started behaving then. Based on the story she told you. Because you are now in a space where information is purified. Everything is clear. It's open. You see it. This was how your father became a freedom fighter. They killed him. This was how he started. He started because he was fighting for everybody in the village. Then you two, you have started now. Freedom fighter. You will see everything. Then you now tell yourself, calm down. Everything is made bare. So what you are going to do tonight or today when you get home, apart from your regular prayer life, you will begin to train your spirit and your mind on stillness. How you are able to pray. And the goal of that prayer is what? Stillness, quietness. You pray till your mind becomes quiet. Are we together? That is the point where inspiration can flow easily. And I don't want you to just get some revelation here and there. I want you to be able to get it regularly. Regularly, you will know things about yourself. You will know things about the people. And people will think you're a prophet. No, you just initiated a law that allows inspiration to flow. And one of the things that you will get when inspiration begins to flow is that you will begin to understand a lot of things. You will now understand why that prayer was not answered. You will now understand why the delay is the way it is. You will now understand. You may just be surprised. You when you get to a point, God will tell you, start dressing well. That's why you are not married. Your character may be good, but nobody sees your character. Go and dress well. Dress for your future. Don't dress for your brokenness. Dress for your future. And tell that brother, go and shave your beard and stop looking like John the Baptist. Go and fix yourself. You may be shocked at what God will tell you. You may be shocked. You will think he will be telling you about archangels. If God says that Joseph will stand before Pharaoh that day, God will not tell him to shave. It is Joseph that will say, please, before I go, can I shave? And he shave Egyptian style. In other words, identifying with the culture. And the environment where he has. If he shaves like a patriarch, like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, big beards, they will know that he is not part of them. So you are going before Pharaoh, like Femi soon, just shave it Egyptian style. They say, come and visit Trump. It's not the time for you to go and wear your agbada. Already, you are a suspect. Wear a clean suit. Very clean suit. And those people, they know brands. So don't even play. Don't go to that your tailor at Orelegum. Don't play. Just for once, be serious. Go and order for a. So when they see you, and when they see those, oh, I'm so excited. I'm not excited to see you. If you bring yourself low, they will treat you that way. Even if you're 100 years old, but I'm here and you need me to prophesy to you. So, should I still prostrate? Do you still want me to prostrate? I can prostrate and go home. If you develop this in the next 2 years, you will become a spiritual resource. That thing will change your life, your personal life. You will be seen as someone that always seems to have insider information. But it's not that the information was not there. You meet a person and the person say, oh, you know, I really like it. The moment the person comes into your space, the peace in your soul will become distorted. You just, what's your name again? Say, Chike. It's okay. Have a nice day. Put yourself in such a space where if once anything tampers with the natural spiritual atmosphere around you, that thing is, sometimes you are too fine. I suspect you. I suspect you. And that's why some of you say, I wanted to take that deal. Then I had a witness in my heart. Something was not right. Something was telling me something. That's something, because you are far from God. When you start learning to hang around Him, you will say, the inspiration of the Almighty. Look at where the inspiration is coming from. From the Almighty is giving me understanding. So when you sit in that meeting and everything they are saying doesn't make sense, because the inspiration gives you what? You know what? I love you. I just really want to make you happy. I want to make you the happiest woman. I don't understand what you say. The moment... No, don't say that. The moment... You need to know what to look out for. That, please hear me. Hear me. Don't laugh. You need to know what to look out for. The moment what he's saying is sounding like cymbals. 1,000 cymbals. Just know that, yes, he's a good person, but he's not the one. But you can, so when you tell someone, the Lord told me it's not the one, you didn't hear a voice. It simply gave you understanding. And this is how Jesus lived. This is how Jesus will preach, and then you will know what people are thinking. And that can be your reality. So you must quieten your heart from all this noise, money, house rent. Compartment, rent a one room in your heart. Lock all those things there and give me the key. Then I will hand over the key to Jesus, because he said, cast all your cares upon me. So God doesn't want you to worry, because the state of your heart will determine your future. No matter how sincere you are, your worry, the worriness of your life, the worriness of your life will stop you, no matter how powerful your prophecy is. Rise on your feet, let's pray. So I believe we know what to do, right? When you get home today, people are not happy. I can prophesy to you, but your prophecy can also somersault if you don't have the right state of mind. Yeah. And in case you think what you have heard is nothing, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think the first place Satan attacks is your mind? Just imagine. Why do you think Satan is so crazy about your mind? Because whoever owns that spot controls the life. Whoever, it doesn't matter if you like speaking tongues. Whoever controls that territorial zone will control that person eventually. Satan could not take over the life and the destiny of man until he sowed the seed into the heart of Eve. And Eve began to think about it and ruminate about it and consider it. As she was doing that, they took over. It was not Satan that now said, eat. You know, Satan never said eat. You didn't know. Satan did not say eat. He only said, did God say? The power of suggestion. Did God say? Did God say? Then you started to shalaye till you ate. I want you to pray for the grace of a quiet spirit. Open your mouth and pray. The grace for a quiet spirit. I want you to pray for yourself. Listen, God is going to speak to you this week. Pray for the grace for a quiet spirit. The grace for a quiet spirit. I want you to pray for the grace. You will begin to walk in very deep revelations. Ask the Lord. I want to hear you again. I want to hear your voice. Speak to me. Inspire me. Inspire me. Ask the Lord to inspire you. Say it is the inspiration of the Almighty that gives them understanding. Ask the Lord to inspire you. You need to know what exactly to do. Ask the Lord this week. If these things are true, I want to experience it. I want to experience it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now we're going to take these prayers home. Finally, before we go, we're going to take one special prayer. There is an aura that pertains to kings. And let me tell you, go and look very closely at everybody in your field or in your industry or someone that you appreciate. Who is there? It's not as though they are not really doing anything better than what you are doing. But there was something that kings descend and they brought them closer. And you need that type of unction. You need that aura. It's smellable. So I want you to ask for it. The aura of kings. The aura that makes kings look at you and think you are also a king. And they bring you closer. And whatever you say, they receive it at that level because of the unction of the Holy Spirit that is upon you. I want you to ask, young children, I want you to ask for the aura that goes with kings and queens. That the Lord will place this over your life and make you distinct and separate and unique and anointed in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray in 1 minute and ask for the aura of kings to come upon your life and begin to flow like a never-ending river. The aura of kings. In Jesus mighty name we pray. These things that you have heard, as you deploy them this week, you will be free from worry. Amen. The aura of kings, that unction that crushes mediocrity, let it flow upon you. Amen. When God visited Peter, and he had a breakthrough, the Lord told him to cast his net, and he had a breakthrough. Peter now needed other men to come with him to get that net out of the water. There is a kind of opportunity that will compel you to employ people. Yes. And it's coming upon you. Yes. It's coming upon you. The stillness that is in this room now, we go with you. Amen. Be blessed of the Lord. Amen. So you are going to enter into a season of praise. Amen. And you will come out of passivity. I have the mind of Christ. and I am not weak. I am strong in the Lord. I am full of the anointing. I am full of the wisdom of God. I am anointed and I know it. I am full of grace and truth. I am a child of God. I am a son of authority. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. God, the Lord bless you.